I'm Kathy Davidson, and welcome to our women's meeting. We have a group of women here, me included, that have some faith and are endeavoring to walk in the kingdom, in the power of God. And we welcome you to join us and join your faith with ours and let God minister to you. Are you coming so God will minister to you? And are you coming so that you can use your faith to minister to others? Let's pray. My heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father. I thank you that you are with us. I thank you. You are with us to save us, to deliver us, to set us free, to justify us, to sanctify us, to redeem us, and to bring us back to you. Father, open our eyes that we can see. Open our ears that we can hear. Open our hearts like you did for Lydia, that she could attend unto the things which are spoken. Turn us from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto you. And we ask this. Father, I ask for a spirit of grace on this meeting. Your grace. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If we will turn to First Epistle of John, chapter 2, we are talking about walking like Jesus walked. In verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him, and that is in Jesus. He that saith he abideth in Jesus ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If you say that you are a disciple and you abide in Jesus, you need to walk like Jesus walked. That is possible. Now turn with me to Matthew 10. We're going to go through quite a few scripture today, but we're setting up a groundwork. Matthew 10, verse 24. This is Jesus speaking, and he makes an astonishing statement. He said, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. The disciple, we call ourselves disciples. If we are born again and we are endeavoring to walk after Jesus, then we call ourselves disciples, is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. Did you know that you could be as your master? Do you know that you could be at a level that he's at? Have you ever considered that? If you have never considered that, you do not know the power of the gospel. You do not know the power of the gospel if you don't think you can be as your master. It says, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. And then they give you another little byword here. Jesus says, and if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call of his household? So when they call you the devil, thank you, Jesus. I'm called just as my brother is called. Turn with me to John 5. Now, it says that the disciple is not above his master and he is not above his Lord. The disciple cannot be above his master. I want to read that again because we're going to need to look at this. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. So if we say that we can do the works of Jesus without doing it the way he did it, we are saying that we are above our master, that we are greater than him. If we don't do it the way Jesus did it, but we say that we do his works, then we are saying we are greater than our master. And that is impossible. It is impossible. All right. Now, with that, turn to John 5. And I'm going to read verse 19. This is our master. This is our shepherd. Verse 19, and then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. We looked at this last week. We're going to look at it again. The Son can do nothing of himself. We know this by the scriptures that Jesus emptied himself of all his godly ability when he came to this earth to walk as a man. Divested himself of all his divinity As R.W. Shambach said, he laid it all down to come to earth so he could do nothing of himself. That's the way we are. We can do nothing of ourselves. That's why Jesus did it that way, to teach us how, to show us how. He is our example. He, the Son, can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For the things soever, whatsoever thing he doeth, the Father, these also doeth the Son likewise. Right here we know the Father is the one that did the miracles. The Father did the miracles through Jesus. Luke 4:18, Jesus said, "The Spirit, the Lord has anointed me." What? To preach the gospel to the poor. Heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free. The Father anointed Jesus to do that. Jesus couldn't do it. He had to do it with the Father working in him. He is our example. That's how we do it. The Father, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God in us does the work. We do nothing. And Jesus does a great way right here of telling us how that's done. He said the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. If you have the Holy Ghost in you, and if you've ever had that anointing work in you, you know exactly what Jesus is saying. Because that Holy Ghost is working in you right in front of you. And all you have to do is follow it. It is the Holy Ghost in Jesus that did the works. That's what Jesus said. I could only do what the Father is doing. He does the works and I follow him. We obey the Spirit of God. We walk in the Spirit. It is so much fun to obey the Spirit of God. Because you see, you hear, you feel that Spirit in you moving around, speaking, telling you what to say, telling you what to do with your hands, telling you what to do with your feet. You dancers know this. You're full of the anointing. God says, dance, the feet go. But it's the Spirit of God that is doing it in you. All you're doing is being led by the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. He tells you right here. But what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever, what things soever the Father doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Jesus was led of the Spirit of God. He was led of the Spirit of God. He could do no works on his own. He was led of the Spirit of God. He is our example. If you say that you are a disciple of Jesus and you can do the works of Jesus did without doing it, being led by the Spirit like Jesus was, you are saying that you are greater than your master. Your master could do nothing of himself. Your master, your Lord, could do nothing of himself. He only did what the Father did in him. And that's how we walk. Now, go to me to verse 36. Same chapter, John 6. He said, but I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works, which the Father has given me to finish. The works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Look at this. The works that the Father has given me to finish. Jesus had works that he had to do on this earth. The Father gave him the works. And Jesus, being led by the Spirit, did those works. They were already preset what Jesus was going to do. It was not Jesus that went to the gathering in the wilderness. It was the Spirit of God that led him to the gathering. It was the Spirit of God that put him on the boat. He said, get on the boat. Jesus got on the boat. He said, go to the other side. Jesus goes to the other side. He gets a big storm. Why? Because the devil doesn't want to let go of the gathering. You're going to find, oh, Lord, are you going to find that when you are being led of the Spirit, you're going to run into some resistance. And sometimes you got to take care of the resistance before you can get the work that you're out there to do first. Sometimes it gets very frustrating, but we overcome. And Jesus was led of the Spirit, led by God over to the gathering. It says in John, I believe it is, that the disciples came to John. They saw a blind man. And the disciples said, Lord, is that man blind because of his parents sinning or because of him sinning? Now, the man was born blind, so it's hard for a baby in the womb to sin. But he said, is that why that man is blind? And Jesus said, no. You know what he said? It was for the works of the Father. It was for the works. The Father gave me this work. One of my works is to get this man to see again. The Father led him to that man. The Father had that man there. And Jesus said that man was blind so God could be glorified. Well, if that's our job with God, hallelujah. Let's glorify him. Let's get him glorified. And Jesus healed the blind man. The Father, the Spirit in Jesus healed the blind man. Get it straight. Your master could do nothing. He said that. I can do nothing. It is the Father in me doing the works. That's how we do it. Now, if you will turn with me, I want to show you how our master did the works. Mark 1, verse 32. Here is our master at work, being led of the Spirit. It says, in an evening, when the sun did set, this is after Jesus said, repent you and believe the gospel. It said, at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto Jesus all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And Jesus healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils. Remember, it's the Spirit of God in Jesus doing the works. Who do you think sent all the people to the door? The Spirit of God. Who do you think let the word out that Jesus could do this? The Spirit of God. Didn't take much. It says, and he suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And now look what Jesus does. This is our master. This is our example. This is our Lord. This is who we want to follow, and we want to be just like him. It says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Have you ever considered that your master, our Messiah, had to pray? He had to pray. Why? Because it wasn't him doing the works. He was a man like you and I. He had to pray. Had to. He had just done a lot of work here, and now he had to get himself back up. And he had to go in a solitary place a great while before day. If your master had to pray like that, do you think you'd have to do that too? Do you think you got to pray like the master to do the master's works? Jesus prayed. He had to. He walked like you and I. Turn with me to Luke 5. And I'm going to go to verse 15. It says, but so much the more there went a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear him and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Woo, this man's famous now. He's got a crowd. And what does he do? Verse 16. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And prayed. He wasn't always in front of the crowds. He prayed. He had to pray. He had to pray to walk in the power that he walked in. He had to pray. If our master had to pray. And in another area, it says he prayed all night. He had to pray all night to name the disciples and also to heal the multitudes that day. He had to pray all night. If our master had to pray like that, to do those works, if we want to do those works, we are going to have to pray like Jesus prayed. We are going to have to pray like Jesus prayed. I laughed a couple of Thursdays ago. Before I went to bed, I do get up early in the mornings to pray and to read. And I told the Lord, I need to get up early to pray. Would you wake me up early? You know, he'll do. He has no problem waking you up early. I wide-eyed woke up at 3:33. And I went, boy, that's early. But we got up and we went and prayed. Jesus got up a great while before day to pray. To pray. You know, the only time I ever heard the voice, the actual audio, I could hear it. Audible. Thank you. Audible. Boy, is there resistance up here. The audible voice of Jesus, of an angel talking to me. When I was ministering on Sundays, preaching on Sundays, before I went to bed, I said, please wake me up at such and such a time. I've got to get up and pray. And at that time, I heard a voice say, Kathy! And then I realized it was an angel. Pretty cool. They make great alarm clocks. Now, why? Because we have works we got to do. Turn with me to 1 John 17. Jesus had works that the Father gave him to do. Jesus went and did all the works that the Father gave him to do. That's how he knew what to do. He didn't just go out on his own. He didn't just take the power of the Holy Ghost and go pick something. He did the works that the Father led him to do if he is our master. And we say that we can do the works that he did without that prayer. We are saying that we are greater than our master. Now, I want us to go to John 17, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. This is Jesus praying to the Father. It begins, and these words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes in heaven and said, Father. Whoa, right there. I want to make out this point that everybody understands this. Jesus is standing on earth, and he lifts up his eyes to heaven, and he says, Father. The hour has come. Jesus and the Father are not the same person. One's on earth, one's in heaven. The one on earth is talking to the one in heaven. He is not talking to himself. You got that? They are two individuals. Thank God they are two individuals. And one of those gods became a man and came down here because he loved us. And look at what he says. He said, and these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. I love this chapter. The hour has come. He said, glorify thy son, that thy son may glorify thee. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Two separate individuals. Now, verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished my work. I have finished my work, which thou gavest me to do. And he does one more work. Jesus does one more work as a man. Here in this chapter is a prayer to the Father just before he goes to the cross. He has one more work to do, and that is go to the cross. That is the death, burial, and crucifixion, the very reason he came. The very reason he came, he had to go through that. You know what the wonderful thing is about that? Let's take a look at this. Jesus, a man is getting ready to go to the cross. He's got one more work. Last week, we talked about Jesus in the garden and how he had to get his spirit above his flesh so that he could go to the cross. His spirit had to become above his flesh. And in the garden, his flesh was at war with the spirit. And he had to overcome that flesh, and he did. And he heads to the cross. He goes to Calvary. And when he's on at that Calvary, I want us to go to Hebrews 9:14. There is something in this verse that is so precious and so powerful. Hebrews 9, verse 14. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, next phrase, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God. Let us take a look at that. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God. Who offered himself through the Spirit, that eternal Spirit? Jesus was a man. He was a man. He could do nothing on his own. Now he's got to get on the cross. He's got to go through the scourging as a man. He's got to go through the trial as a man. He's got to get on that cross as a man. And he's got to die as a man. And his body cannot go to corruption as a man. And then he has to go to hell as a man. And he's got to be raised from the dead as a man. How is a man going to do that when the man says, I can do nothing of myself? How does he do it? This verse answers it. Who through the eternal spirit? Who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God? That eternal spirit was with Jesus in the scourging. He was with Jesus in the scourging. How do you think that a man could pay for all our sickness and disease if the Spirit of God wasn't with him? Then he's just a man getting beat. But he's not here. He is a man without sin that is getting a scourging for you and me. That eternal spirit made sure he was there so that it was our sicknesses and our diseases he was being scourged for. He was a man. It was the spirit of God with him that he took the beatings for you and I, that our diseases would be taken care of. It was a man that went to the cross, but that eternal spirit with him had a man take my sin and your sin and your curses and my curses on a man's body that can do nothing. That eternal spirit with Jesus. Jesus gave himself, and that eternal spirit went with him to make sure that all our sin went on a man's body. Otherwise, it's a waste of a man's life. Jesus went as a man. He could do nothing. But it was the eternal spirit that went with him. He was with him in the crucifixion. It says, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God. Jesus got himself there without spot, without sin, but that sin had to get on him somehow, and Jesus is a man. He has no powers. How are we going to get all our sins on that man? The eternal spirit. The eternal spirit. The eternal spirit. Isaiah 53 says, it says, let's go there. Isaiah 53. I don't have this book worn into chapter 53 yet. All right. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Verse 5, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon that body, that Jesus. And with his stripes, we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, that's Jehovah, laid on Jesus, a man that can do nothing. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you see how the Jesus and the eternal spirit, that Holy Ghost, that spirit of God work together to make sure that man died on the tree, to make sure that man took my sin on him. Don't you ever look at that cross without realizing your sins were on that body. Your sins, not just your neighbor's sins, your sins, your iniquities, your curses. Your curses were put on that body, and then that man who could do nothing died. And he went to hell. And as a man, he paid for my sins, and he paid for your sins, and he paid dearly. It says in Psalm, I believe it is 88, that the wrath of God is pouring over me, and that is a man's soul saying that. He couldn't get himself out of hell. He was just a man. He was just a man. He could do nothing. That's what he told us. And you know what? The Word of God, the Scripture cannot be broken. So he goes to hell paying for you and paying for me. And it is beautiful. Because that Spirit of God never went too far. Because 3 days' time, with him suffering as a man in hell, verse 11 of Isaiah 53, he shall see, the Father shall see. See, how's he going to see? The Spirit of God. He's everywhere. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By thy knowledge shall my righteous servant, oh, that's what they called him, the righteous servant, justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. What a work. And I want to remind you, when he was raised from the dead, it says in Romans 8, the Spirit of God, if that Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he will also quicken you. 3 days' time, I love it. The Father said, that's enough. That's enough. Not just for Jesus, that's enough for Kathy. That's enough for Kathy. That's enough for you. The Father said, that's enough. And Jesus came out of the grave forgiven of every sin ever committed. Every sin ever committed. The sins I committed, it was enough. My sins were forgiven when Jesus came out of that grave. So were yours. They were forgiven. It was enough. The power of God. I love it. When you read those scriptures, it says there was an earthquake. There must have been. There must have been. It wasn't just a man coming out of the grave. It was sin died. Sin was gone. What did John the Baptist say? He said, behold, the man that taketh away the sin of the world. And he had just done that. No more sin. He broke every curse. Every curse that came from the law was broken. Every curse that I had ever had on me was broken when he came out of that grave. How can we not rejoice? How can we not walk in this power? How can we not use it? How can we not make it ours? Everything was done concerning you. your justification, your righteousness, your healing, your prosperity, your safety, your security was done when the Father said, that's enough. It's enough. Come out of there. We came out with him. We just don't want to walk in it. But we came out with him. We came out justified. We came out healed. We came out prosperous. We came out secure. We came out in safety. We just don't want to apply it. And how did Jesus apply it? He prayed. He prayed. He believed. He prayed. He was a man just like you and I. And we're going to finish real quick here. We're going to show you our work. Our work. Jesus had works he had to do. We have a work. John 6:28. I'm going to begin in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto life, everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. They said unto them, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? There's your works, folks. You want to know what your work is walking with Jesus? It's right here. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? How are we going to do this? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. When you put your faith with that gospel, when you put your faith with what Jesus accomplished for you in the death, burial, and resurrection, you cannot help but do the works. You can't help but do the works. When you put your faith in the gospel, your faith is in the gospel. It is not in a man. It is not in a religion. It is not in a building. It is not in a book. Your faith is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith is in what Jesus did for you in the death, burial, and resurrection. There is your work, and there's plenty of it. There is plenty of it. Do you want that kind of power? That was a man that cast out devils. That was a man that healed all the sick. That was a man. That was a man. And you know what? You can do the same works. Jesus said you could. In John 5, I think it is. He said, greater works will you do than I did. Greater works. Why? Because he goes to the Father. Now you got a team working. Greater works will you do. Do you want to walk in that power? Do you want to walk in that ability? Do you want to know Jehovah and his son Jesus? I mean, know them one-on-one. It is possible. You must be born again first. How are you born again? You're going to pray. And you're going to ask Jesus to come into your heart. And you're going to ask his spirit. When you do that, you have his spirit enter into your heart. And you too become one flesh. And then you got a shepherd. You got a shepherd. And he will lead you. It is his desire. It is his desire that you be one of his. It is his desire. He didn't waste the cross on you. It is his desire that you become one of his. And how do you do that? Repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. I believe you were raised from the dead, because I'm not talking to a dead man. I believe you were raised from the dead. Heal me. Lead me. Fix me. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I want us to consider that resurrection. Every curse was broken when Jesus was raised from the dead. He couldn't have gotten out of hell without every sin forgiven and without every curse broken. He couldn't have gotten out. He couldn't have gotten out. It was a man. The man had to be made whole. And when the man was whole, we became whole with him. Every curse is broken. Every curse. You know where curses come from? It says in Deuteronomy 28. It says when we didn't obey God, when we didn't obey God, the curses came in. There are like 14 beautiful verses of all the good stuff when you obey God. And there's like 56 verses of when you don't obey God. And in them is all those curses. And there is a list. And you know what? It may not even be in you that did the sin. It may be in your parents or your grandparents or your great-great-grandparents. It says it's visited in the third, fourth generation. But you know what? That cross fixed it. God fixed it in Jesus. He fixed it. If you've got a curse, a generational curse, it was fixed when Jesus was raised from the dead. The only thing you have to do is apply it. I break every curse now in Jesus' name. I break these curses in the name of Jesus. I break these curses now in Jesus' name. I break them. I break them. I break them in the name of Jesus. I break them. I break them. I break them. I break every curse now in the name of Jesus. I break these curses. I break these curses now in Jesus' name. I break these curses. I break them. I break them. I break these curses now in Jesus' name. I break them. I break these curses. I break this curse of drug addiction. I break it now. It ends here. I break it. I break it in Jesus' name. It ends here. I break it in Jesus' name. I break it. I break it. I break it in Jesus' name. I break this curse of alcoholism. I break it. I break it. I break it. It was paid for on the body of Jesus. I break it in Jesus' name. I break it. I break it. I break it. I break this curse in Jesus' name. I break it. I break it. I break it, Father. I break this curse. I break it. I break these curses. I break these curses now in Jesus' name. I break them. I break them. I break them. I break this curse now. I break this curse right now in Jesus' name. I break it. I break it. I break this curse in Jesus' name. I break this curse. I break it. 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 I break it in Jesus' name. I break the curse of suicide. I break it right now. I break that curse of suicide. I break it. You gotta live. He's alive in you. You don't have to die. He can fix it. He can fix it. Call out to Jesus. You don't have to commit suicide. Jesus can fix it. He has got that much power. He'll fix it. Amen. Just call on his name till he shows up and fixes it. I get thanks. It's the devil telling you to commit suicide. It's the devil telling you. You know why the devil's telling you to commit suicide? Because you are a creation. You are a creation of the Father and Jesus. And he hates you. He hates you. You were created by the Father and Jesus. He is not your friend. He hates you. And he wants to see you in hell with him. But guess what? You're not going there. You are not going there. I proclaim Jesus in your life in Jesus' name. I thank you for the spirit of grace right now in your life. I thank you for that spirit of grace now. Devil, you can't have them. You can't have them. Jesus will fix it. You can't have them. I did that once for a family member, and they are alive and well today. The devil can't have them. You know what, mothers? You can say the same thing. You can go after the same thing. You don't be afraid of the devil. I love it when somebody said, there is no place in the Bible that says that you should be afraid of the devil. Not one. You've got Jesus in you who conquered the devil. And he enjoys conquering him every chance he gets. There is no place in the Bible that you have to be afraid of the devil. No place. Jesus said that he gives you all power and authority, and nothing will by any means hurt you. Threat, maybe, but he won't hurt you. He won't hurt you. But my children will hate me. They hate you now anyway. Love you guys. Amen. I get thanks. I get thanks, Father. I thank you. I get thanks. You have the same spirit in you that I have in me. And I have the same spirit in me that was raised from the dead. And I have the Holy Ghost in me, the same spirit that Jesus walked in. Walked in. We have the same ability. We need to use it. You got a problem in your family? Start binding the devil. You saw what Duel did this morning. It works. It works. Binding that spirit works. You got to keep at it, but you can fix it. I had a situation in my family in 06. It was dire. And the Lord led me, the Spirit of God led me to bind witchcraft for days. For days. Strong. And in 2 weeks, things totally changed. And Kathy was on her way out. On her way out. I didn't see it at the moment when it happened. I thought, what is this? And then I realized one day, you've been binding the devil. That's what this is. It's deliverance. Amen. See you next week.